Hey, you want that to go?
Now, some quick takeouts on stories we're following all this week. Let's go back into the political world with Todd Zwillick, the Takeaways Washington correspondent. So we talked earlier, Todd, about the fact that they passed this hate crime legislation, but that particular part of it was part of a larger bill that had to do with military policy in Iraq and Afghanistan. And it kind of looks like they're preparing for the shift from Iraq to Afghanistan. Is that right?
Yeah, they really do. There's a lot of significant military policy on Afghanistan, you're right, in this bill, which has sort of been overshadowed by the fact that, yes, it contains social policy, which is extending federal hate crimes protection to gays and lesbians. But on the military stuff, so far in Iraq, it has been technically illegal when equipment, including weapon systems, armed personnel carriers, other military equipment that's in Iraq, when that equipment is done being used or there's a drawdown in Iraq, the law said it has to be sent back home to its base, wherever it came from in the U.S. This bill changes that. It says you can now move it from Iraq directly into Afghanistan. That is for a buildup. And that is also for giving more equipment to the Afghan army to beef up their ability to fight the Taliban and al-Qaeda. Carl Levin, chairman of Armed Services, Democrat from Michigan, was talking about why this is important in the Afghanistan mission. Listen to this.
Whatever side of the various debates over strategy in Afghanistan, there's a strong consensus about strengthening the Afghan army. It's now more possible to strengthen the Afghan army with additional equipment because of the bill that we passed today.
Now, this bill does a lot of other important things, too, about Afghanistan. Celeste, you remember the Sunni awakening in Iraq, basically how we took...
Of course. We were trying to buy off the... Yeah, right.
Buy off the support of insurgents who were fighting on the Sunni side. Well,
right.
it worked. So what this bill does is authorizes up to $1 billion at the discretion of military U.S. military commanders in Iraq to do pretty much the exact same thing.
They're buying off the Taliban.
Taliban fighters in villages, not necessarily ideological or religious Taliban fighters, but people who just need a paycheck and the Taliban is the only game in town. Well, we're trying to get another game in town, U.S. money to buy these guys off and buy them onto our side. This bill does that.
Okay, quickly, there was also some interesting things about that have to do with terror trials for Guantanamo.
Yeah, now the Hamdan decision at the Supreme Court a year and a half ago or 2 years ago basically put a stop to military tribunals at Gitmo. This bill changes the parts of the military commission's process that the Supreme Court struck down and makes it possible for military commissions to get going again. Now, a lot of the Gitmo detainees who need trials will be tried in the U.S. under criminal proceedings. We've heard about that. But some will be done under military proceedings. This gives them more rights, basically lays down in the law that any information obtained through cruel or inhumane
torture,
means,
right,
you can't use.
Right.
Gives defendants more ability to choose their own counsel. A lot of sort of the constitutional protection stuff that wasn't in there under the Bush administration now has been fixed, hopefully to the satisfaction of the Supreme Court.
Okay, Todd Zwillick is the Takeaways Washington correspondent. Let's talk about football now with Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, the Takeaways sports contributor. It's Friday, big NFL matchups coming up. Is who's the most exciting game?
Okay, so there's two games I really want to talk about. This is Pittsburgh Steelers versus the Minnesota Vikings.
Right.
And I know it's a little early to start talking about this, but this could be one of the matches for the Super Bowl. The Steelers have bounced back from early losses and now 4-2 atop the AFC North, and the Vikings' past events consists of rushing the QB and collecting 10.
Vikings are undefeated.
Correct, they're 6-0, collecting 10 interceptions all season. They're well matched against the suddenly pass-oriented Steelers, but look for Big Ben Roethlisberger, the quarterback of the Steelers, to be anchored by the return of a long-haired and dangerous Troy Polamalu, who anchors the defense, and he's going to provide the difference. And I think the Steelers are going to bring this one. The second game, New Orleans Saints versus the Miami Dolphins. This is the game I'm most interested in this week. Why? Because it features the incredibly potent offensive attack of the Saints. They score points
also
in bunches.
Undefeated.
Correct. And they're passing the ball to 5 different receivers for touchdowns last week. They've won each of their last games by 14 points at least. But they're going to go up against who? The Miami offense. And this is the important thing. The Miami offense controls the ball. They're the 11th ranked rushing offense in the league, but they control control the time of possession, so they hold on to the ball longer than anyone else. They will do their best to keep Drew Brees off the field. So if they can, they will keep the score close if Miami can keep the ball away from Drew Brees, keep the score close, and put them in contention to win. So I'm predicting that the Dolphins are going to upset the Saints in this strange NFL universe that we're in.
You're going out on a limb there. Okay, I'm definitely going to have to watch and see if you're right. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen is the Takeaways sports contributor. And now let's go back to movies to actually get a look at what's being released this weekend and what would be worth going. We're joined by Rafer Guzman. He's a film critic for Newsday and a Takeaway contributor. So we already talked earlier about Amelia, which is coming out with Hilary Swank in the title role. But we're also seeing the re-release of Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas. And this is like the third one that Disney has re-released in 3D.
Right. You're talking about Toy Story and Toy Story 2 as well.
Chicken Little.
Right. Well, you know, I think that that Tim Burton movie, you know, it's an enduring classic. I mean, you know, Tim Burton really, he created a real sensibility. He kind of made goth mainstream, and it's Halloween season. So, you know, why not bring it back?
Is this not just another Disney ploy to make more money?
When is anything in Hollywood not a ploy to make
The question really is, does 3D really enhance the movie enough to make it worth going back to the movie theaters to see it?
They've been pushing 3D a lot, and the IMAX people have also been really aggressive about trying to get a lot of the stuff in the IMAX format. I personally am not that huge a fan of 3D stuff. I find that even that movies that were made specifically for 3D.
Right, Coraline.
Like Coraline or Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs as well. I feel like they tend to open strong with some effects, and then about maybe halfway through they forget that they're doing 3D.
right. We're also going to see Cirque du Freak coming out, The Vampire's Assistants. This has one of my favorites, John C. Reilly, in it, also Salma Hayek. What about this film? Is it worth seeing?
I thought this was a pretty good film. I didn't think it was a great movie. People have been comparing it to Twilight. It's actually kind of the anti-Twilight. It's more for boys than for girls. A lot more fighting than smooching. It's actually, I think, angling to be a bit more of a Harry Potter than a Twilight series, really. Although I know
the whole
Sorcerer's
Apprentice sort of theme going on.
Yeah, sort of. Right. I mean, John C. Reilly takes this young kid played by Chris Masolia under his wing. John C. Reilly is actually a great choice for this because he's sort of a great schmo, John C. Reilly.
He is,
and he plays this great kind of average, not too fashionable, not great looking vampire, which I found kind of
a long way from Tom Cruise,
he is. Yes, he is. Or Pattinson from Twilight, yes.
And now there's an interesting movie that you pointed to called Antichrist. It's not going into wide release.
Right.
So what's good about this film?
It'll be surprising if that film does go into wide release. It's really polarized a lot of critics. It's Lars von Trier. And it's, you know, basically two characters in a cabin, a married couple, nameless, she and he, and who essentially torture themselves and each other for the length of the film.
Great. More torturing in one of his films. Rafer Guzman is a Takeaway contributor and film critic for Newsday, letting us know about the movies this weekend.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.